All right, we're not going to judge others, but for yourself as a follower of Jesus, do you believe it's a sin to be obese?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome again to 2017. A blessed new year to each of you. Maybe joining me for the first time this year. 866-348-7884, the number to call. This is Michael Brown. Hey, we're not here to discourage you. We're here to encourage you. We're not here to beat you up. We're here to lift you up. We're not here to condemn you. We're here to show you a better way. So this is a condemnation-free broadcast today. We want to help. We want to encourage. We want to strengthen. And everything we say and do is going to be constructive. I'm holding in my hands our brand new book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, How We Conquered Food Addictions and Discovered a New Way of Living. The we being Nancy and I. And there's, on the front cover, there's a picture of like this massive burger with cheese and bacon on it, and fries behind it. And people have joked with me. They said, that's like showing porn to someone who's struggling with sexual control and things like that. Well, it's obviously not meant to tempt, but it is there to say, yeah, food's powerful. Food can control our lives. Food can destroy our lives. And I want to ask a question, a practical question for discussion, not for attack, not for judging others, but for personal reflection. Is unhealthy eating a sin? Is it a sin for a Christian to be obese? Is it hypocritical if, let's say, I'm 5'10" and weigh 300 pounds and I'm preaching against adultery and I'm preaching against drunkenness? If I myself am a glutton? Or is it wrong to even think that thought because perhaps that's what I weigh because I've got a metabolic problem of some kind. I've got a physical disorder. Or perhaps when I quit smoking cigarettes, I'm using myself as an example. I never smoked cigarettes, and I'm closer to 6'3 than I am to 5'10". And by God's grace, now I weigh about 180 pounds as opposed to 300. So you understand, I'm just using myself as a hypothetical example. I quit smoking cigarettes and didn't realize that I was now adding in unhealthy eating habits and I gained 100 pounds. Or maybe you're a woman and you were in great shape until you had three straight pregnancies and the weight gain with the pregnancies and you just not been able to take the weight off. And God forbid anyone thinks you're sinning by being obese. How do we look at this as believers? Can we have a constructive discussion about the stronghold of food? And can we recognize how powerful this stronghold is? And can we find constructive ways to overcome it without condemning or judging? God is my witness. When I see people who are grossly overweight, which is becoming so much more common these days, I feel bad for them. I don't judge them. I don't say, what's the matter with a slob or what's with this guy? Or how? No. I feel bad for them. I think, wow, it's so hard to overcome that. Wow, it can be a long road back. You might be 50 pounds overweight or 100 pounds overweight or more, and you think, it's going to take me forever to get back to, you know, the normal weight or a healthy weight. And it's, you know, months or years. And sometimes the bondages are deep, and sometimes people eat out of emotional need and things like that. They're depressed, they're discouraged, and food's a way out. Or they think, I don't know, what's healthy, what's not healthy? I don't know. It just seems everything I eat, I balloon with it. Let's be constructive. We're going to do that. We're going to help you today on The Line of Fire. But give me a call, 866-348-7884. Is it sin for a Christian to be obese? Is unhealthy eating sin? We'll be right back.
fire we
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. What are the primary causes of obesity? What do you think? I asked this question on Twitter a few minutes ago. In your opinion, what's the primary cause of obesity? Genetics, emotional disorders, lack of self-control, lack of knowledge. I also asked a few days ago for a follower of Jesus, is unhealthy eating sinful? I asked that question and gave two choices for that. One was obviously, the other no, food is to be enjoyed. Again, my goal is not to embarrass anyone, make anyone feel bad, make anyone feel condemned. For many of you, being overweight is somewhat paralyzing. You're so conscious about the way you look. You feel bad all the time physically. You don't like to go outside or be around other people, or other aspects of your life are hurt by it. The last thing I want to do is make you feel worse. No, God forbid. Here's where we're going to stand together and say, okay, how can we address this problem in the body today without being judgmental towards others or attacking others? And by the way, if we need to be sensitive in dealing with this, how about other issues that we deal with? Sexual issues, romantic issues, moral, cultural issues, abortion. I'd say all of these issues we must deal with truth and love together. 866-348-7884. We'll look at some scripture as well. But Dr. Joel Fuhrman, famous for his books Eat to Live and The End of Dieting and others, Nancy and I have followed his plan in terms of what to eat and what not to eat and guidelines for healthy eating and healthy living. But he gives a list of some of the health risks of obesity. They include increased overall premature mortality. In other words, you're going to die younger. Adult onset diabetes. Now, even with childhood obesity, there are diabetes issues. Hypertension, so high blood pressure. Degenerative arthritis. Coronary artery disease. Cancer. Lipid disorders. Obstructive sleep apnea. Gallstones. Fatty infiltration of liver. Restrictive lung disease. And gastrointestinal diseases. These are all things that are often related to obesity. And Dr. Fuhrman states, we're digging our own graves with knives and forks. Now again, some people, the obesity is a symptom of something else. In rare cases, there are medical disorders, metabolic disorders, and it's a difficult thing. Person eats almost nothing, and this gets very big. But the vast, vast majority of cases, that's not the issue. It is what we eat and how much of what we eat and when we eat it that will ultimately affect whether we're overweight or not. And then exercising too, but exercising is secondary to diet, okay? If you had to choose one or the other, you're going to exercise like crazy, you're going to eat healthily, you go with eating healthily, all right? And then you'll be much more ready to exercise when you do that as well. But it could be that someone is overeating or eating unhealthy things because they're fighting with depression, just went through a brutal divorce, and they don't even realize it, but they're taking refuge in food. Is that sinful or is that weakness? Someone quit smoking cigarettes and next thing their weight balloons because they exchanged one bad habit for another while they were trying to do the right thing. Others, like me, lifetime of unhealthy eating. Eating Oreos for breakfast as a boy. Literally, that was my breakfast. I'd have four Oreos and then I'd walk to school in the morning. The first one I'd just eat straight. Second one, I'd open up and lick out the filling first. Then I'd remember the second one. Third one, eat straight. Fourth one, the other way. Yeah, and then I'd walk to school. That was my breakfast, if you can imagine. Then I'd walk back home from school and have a peanut butter sandwich. No jelly, just peanut butter without the crust. I didn't like the crust, so my mom would cut the crust off. Uh-huh. That was lunch. Then I'd walk back to school and then come home in the afternoon and normally for a snack have pretzels and grape juice. And then for dinner, I'd often have a burger, something else that wasn't particularly healthy, maybe a little bit of a vegetable here and there, some cucumber or green pepper, maybe a little of that. and then always a brownie, used to be frozen for whatever reason, and then a coffee candy. It's just kind of my ritual. And that's how I ate. And I wasn't fat growing up, but it was unhealthy eating habits. And then once I discovered pizza in my teens, as a boy, I ate it a couple times, didn't like it. When I was 15, started eating it, started to like it, and that became a staple food. I'd have that every day for years for lunch. When I was in junior high school, every single day for lunch, I'd walk with some of the other students over across the field, and there was a little place there, and I'd get a burger and fries for lunch every day. And then often at home, I'd have a burger and fries for dinner. Yeah, so those 5 days a week, sometimes twice a day, and then maybe another time on the weekend. Well, as you get older, that stuff starts to catch up to you. As you get older, you start to see it, you know, with your cholesterol levels or with blood pressure or with weight gain, because you eat the same way and your metabolism changes, and the bad seeds you've been sowing for years start to catch up to you. But I was serving the Lord. I would fast. I would pray. I was disciplined, loving the Lord, but eating bad stuff. And then when I saw myself getting heavier, was lacking in self-control, and I was willfully ignorant in terms of making changes. Nancy had read extensively on nutrition and told me, hey, this is not the way you want to be eating. But I did, okay? And as a result, was getting heavier and getting more worn down, and headaches and backaches and sleep apnea went from mild to severe, and other issues of just being run down. And that has all radically, dramatically changed by God's grace through healthy eating. And it's a joy, and it's wonderful, and it's life-giving. And trust me, I'm in restaurants with people all the time, and they're eating whatever they're eating, and I'm joking with them about it, and I'm not telling them not to, or, you know, unless they say they want to change, and I'd say, hey, I'd recommend this rather than this. But bottom line, where does this fit for us as believers? Should we not even think about it because we're spiritual people? I mean, after all, we're living for a heavenly kingdom, not for an earthly kingdom. And what we put in our body just goes in and out. And why even think about it? Why make an issue out of it? Is that getting distracted? Is that getting legalistic? Or if we know we should be good stewards of our finances, how much more should we be good stewards of our bodies? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jackie in East Orange, New Jersey. You're up first today. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
You bet.
Yes, what I wanted to say was that food is both a necessity and it's also a psychological issue. So we cannot look at people and assume that they're sinning by eating too much, because you just pointed out excellently all the different variables that goes into food. And sometimes people just out of ignorance don't know how much to eat or what different food combinations to put on their plate. And then we have all these genetically modified organisms, and some of those snacks, they're designed to make you, like, look at Lay's potato chips, you just can't eat one. And sometimes you start with some of these snacks and you just can't stop eating till you finish the whole bag. So it's a complex issue, but it's not something that people should ever look at and see a person who's very heavy and assume the worst about them.
Yes,
but
yes.
You have some people that have a very fast metabolism who could eat all kinds of stuff, and they may run up and down, and they eliminate quickly, and they just don't, it just doesn't show all that they eat.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, so the judging by outward appearance is something we cannot do. There are people
That's
who
right.
are gluttons, and yet they look thin.
That's right.
It's true. And there are others who they hate being overweight, and they just they don't know how to change, or they're weak. There are others. There's so many potential reasons. And again, I'm a man. I never had to go through pregnancy. I never
right.
had to go through the weight gain and my body changing. And now I've got a baby and I can't sleep at night on top of it, and trying to grab a snack here where I can and cook, you know, food for everybody else. And right. So we have to start with great compassion, and having received grace to overcome this, and Nancy and I discussing this endlessly, because this was a tremendous stronghold in her life for years and years, and as she tells her story in the book, totally paralyzing for her, being overweight. But absolutely, the more I've looked at this, the more compassion I have, the more committed I am to helping people break the stronghold of food. So thank you for the exclamation point, Jackie, on what I've said so far. This is not about judging others. This is not about casting stones at others. This is a matter of saying, hey, how can we stand together and help? Because this much we know, it's better to be at our proper weight than to be overweight or obese in every way, shape, size, or form. A friend of mine said that his son had drawn a picture of Jesus, and he had a big pot belly, and the father said to him, "That's unscriptural. That's unscriptural." Would you agree with that? Could you picture Jesus being overweight because of sloppy eating habits? Hey, thank you for the call, Jackie. We're going to be productive, constructive, helpful. What's your take? 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
According to the Centers for Disease Control, more than one-third, 36.5% of U.S. adults are obese. Yeah, and the health costs related to obesity with sicknesses and other things like that are completely off the charts. Non-Hispanic blacks have the highest age-adjusted rates of obesity, 48.1%, followed by Hispanics, 42.5%, non-Hispanic whites, 34.5%, and non-Hispanic Asians, 11.7%. So interestingly, Asians, the lowest in terms of obesity, blacks the highest. Is it due to the type of foods people eat? Is it due to poverty and lack of healthy food choices? Is it due to lack of discipline? Can we make these generalizations? Obesity is higher among middle-aged adults, age 40 to 59, and older adults, age 60 and over, than among younger adults. That would be expected, although among younger adults, 20 to 39 years old, 32.3% obese. And by the way, some doctors say that the government standards for obesity are way too low, and that it's more like 40 or 50% of the population that's obese. Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown here. We're talking about unhealthy eating. Is it sinful? Is it sinful for a Christian to be obese? But we're talking on a personal level. We're not attacking others or criticizing others or judging others because of the various factors that could contribute to obesity. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before we go back to your calls, number one, there's still time to get the ebook free when you order Breaking the Stronghold of Food today. There's still time to do it, all right? Here's where you go. If you haven't done this yet, go to strongholdoffood.com. Strongholdoffood.com. And then click to order there. Order on Amazon if you can, all right? You'll get the paperback. It's out now, so you'll have that in just a few days. And then when you order, you get the ebook free. Just follow all the directions there. You get the ebook free, and you get the current book at like 40% off. So great, great value. Take advantage of that. That's at strongholdoffood.com. If you already got the book, if you're one of our early readers, then go to Amazon and post a review as soon as you finished it. That would be a blessing to others. We want to help as many people as we can. And if you want to get an absolutely free copy of the book, and an exclusive DVD, a video teaching I did on discipline and healthy eating. It's not posted anywhere. It's not available anywhere. It's our gift to you with the book if you become a new torchbearer, a new monthly supporter of the ministry. You can do that by going to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click on donate, and you'll be able to join us today. It'll be our joy to send you the book and the DVD completely free when you become a torchbearer. Also, while you're there, while you're on the website, check our digital library. We've got some new videos, one on Chicago violence and gun control, another on Ten Commandments, Are They for Today, based on the teaching of Jesus and John. And what about everything that happens? Does everything that happened correspond to the will of God? 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I'm gonna blow some of you away with this information. But according to Dr. Joel Fuhrman, are you ready? for men, how do you calculate your weight? All right, you use 105 pounds, just medium frame, regular frame person, right? 105 pounds for your first 5 feet. Okay, let's say you're 6 feet tall. That's another 12 inches. Add 5 pounds for each inch over 5 feet, meaning your ideal weight would be 165 pounds if you're 6 feet tall. You say, what? That's crazy. Well, when Nancy told me my ideal weight would be 180, I said, there's no way I weigh 275 pounds. I mean, I thought 200 pounds, I'd look starved. I'm right around 180. Stayed right around here for a couple of years now, and it's wonderful. Oh, absolutely, it fits me right. For women, 95 pounds for the first 5 feet, 4 pounds for each inch over 5 feet. So based on this, if you were 5'6", okay, that would be 95 plus 24, so 119 pounds. You said it'd be like a rail. You'd be amazed how much excess weight we carry and get used to. And even with generous health guidelines, if you're 5'2" and you weigh, oh, is this men or women or just, it's got it for both here. Let's say you're 5'2", you weigh 160 pounds, you're obese. If you're 6'3", I'm between 6'2 and 6'3", let's say 6'2", I'd be obese at 230. And these are fairly generous guidelines. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Renee in Queens. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I'm trying to calculate in my head. I'm 5'3", and I'm about 134 pounds. I'm a size 6, but I don't choose to go any lower.
Uh-huh.
But basically, I feel... I've been watching the program 600 pounds, see how they deal with it.
Yeah, isn't that so sad?
I never understood why. And they just get caught up, but no one comes on there that seems to have a strong faith.
Mm.
You know, I believe your body is your temple. And of course, there are situations where emotionally it's just gone, it's just totally out of whack. But I feel if you look at what they're eating, I haven't really seen anyone eating vegetables. I don't think they know to really eat salads and vegetables.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes, Renee, we don't want to know because we like the other foods better. Sometimes we think having a small salad in the midst of everything else will do it. But here's the one thing for sure. And look, I've been in plenty of churches, and sometimes I just look up and think, wow, most of the people here are heavy and some of them are really obese. And I feel terrible. I feel bad for them. But think of what we do, Renee. Almost everything we do in our church-related services has food in it. You know, we our fellowship meals and our, you know, gathering here, and we eat there. I mentioned a story. A friend of mine came from Africa, from Ghana, over to the States to hang out with my friend who was doing ministry in Mississippi at that time. And after a week or two with him, he said, now I see why the church in America is so weak. He said, you spend all your time feasting. We spend all our time fasting. But one thing that's really, really important, and I want everyone to hear this, don't try to cut back on unhealthy eating. Cut it out and substitute it with healthy eating. If you're not sure what that means, in our book, we've got guidelines, we've got websites with recipes and things that will give you details. But it's just like if you're having an affair with someone, you don't cut it back, you cut it off. And as long as we just cut back, we allow these unhealthy eating habits and bondages to dominate our lives, and we're constantly, constantly trying to cut back the weeds that are growing. Whereas if you uproot the weeds, you'll find freedom. And then what grows in will be healthy. I think you can apply the analogy to your own lives. Remember, if you haven't ordered the book yet, strongholdoffood.com is the place to go.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the line of fire, 866-348-7884. So, sir, ma'am, if you knew that you were cutting your life short by 10 years by the way to eat, if you knew that you were guaranteeing that your final years would be much more painful and difficult, if you knew that you would be less effective in everything that you do because of the way that you eat, if you knew all those things, would it be enough incentive to change? Now, there's some who say, I don't really care. You know, it's food, something I do every day, and it's too important to me to change. And I was talking to one pastor. He said, what do I tell my father? He's getting sick, and he's going to die, and it's all related to the way he eats. And I asked him, you know, Dad, don't you understand? If you ate differently, you'd live longer, you'd be healthier. And he said, I don't care. I like the food. He said, what do I tell him? I said, well, ask him, is he going to be that selfish to the grandkids? You know, try to convict him in some way. Again, a friend of ours, a pastor, mentioned this before. He had type 2 diabetes, and he was talking to Nancy years back, and Nancy said, you know, if you went totally vegan, you could reverse that. He goes, I know, but I hate veggies. Is that the way it is, that you think, I don't really care, 10 years extra life when every day I don't like what I eat, every day I can't enjoy the foods I want, every day I feel deprived? You can have that. I'll live 10 years shorter and enjoy it. Of course, you'll enjoy it less. But then there's the question of, what about stewardship? What about our accountability to God? What if he's given me an assignment that's going to take me, I got saved at 16, that's going to take me 80 years to complete. I'll complete it at 96. But because I willingly make unhealthy food choices, I end up getting cut down at 76, and I could have had 20 more years of service to God. Is there a stewardship issue that comes up? Is that something to be considered? Others say, I know all the problems. I know what's wrong. I fully understand that. I'm not arguing it. I just don't know how to change. I tried a million times. This new book, I buy it. New diet, I try it. New video, I watch it. New teaching, I listen to it. And nothing helps. That's another thing entirely. I want to encourage you, wherever you find yourself, and I understand that I'm speaking to a large percentage of you, dear listeners, for whom food is an issue. Food is a problem. Being overweight, being obese, having health-related issues because of food, gluttony, lack of self-control, whatever it is. I'm speaking to a large number of you for whom this is relevant. It's good to be honest about where you are. It's good to say, okay, here's my problem. I love my food. Here's my problem. Food is my emotional outlet. Here's my problem. I'm addicted to these foods. I've tried to get free and I can't take the withdrawal. Here's my problem. I don't know any other way to eat. Here's my problem. I'm not willing to change. Wherever you find yourself, start there. Be honest, right? Be honest. Start there. Here's where I find myself. Here's what I realize is wrong. Here's where I need grace, and I'm coming to God there. If we start there, friends, we'll be blessed. If we start there, friends, we'll be on the right track. I've got some other news, some things I want to discuss with you as well, but I want to be as helpful as I can. This is such an important issue for so many. Since we started talking about the book, since I went through my life transformation, we hear from people day and night desperate to change. Change is possible. Lasting change is possible.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. Friends, what if you could live your life with more energy? What if you could be free from certain pains and aches and tiredness that drag you down? What if you could look in the mirror and not feel embarrassed? What if you had so much more freedom and feeling of life, and all you had to do was change what you ate? Here's a question for you. Here's a question. If someone said to you, okay, I'm going to give you $1 million in tax-free cash if you can get down to your ideal weight, according to, you know, strict charts, what the ideal weight should be. If you can get down to your ideal weight, I'm going to give you $1 million. However, if you go back to where you were before, you lose the $1 million. But if you stay there, every year you stay there, you get $500,000 back. So you could have $1.5 million, $2 million, $2.5 million. You say, I could do it. I could do that. If someone gave me that incentive, I could do that. Well, isn't health a greater incentive than money? Isn't long life a greater incentive than money? Isn't having more energy and vitality worth more than money? After all, what good is the money if you're run down, if you're beat down, if you've got all kinds of unnecessary sicknesses? Here, I want you to picture this scenario, all right? Again, we're here to help, not to judge, not to attack. If you don't have our new book yet, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, if you become a Torchbearer monthly supporter this month, we're giving you the book free along with an exclusive DVD teaching I have on health and healthy eating. And friends, I'm looking at what Scripture says, and I'm saying, hey, if God could help me, God could help anybody. If God could help me, God could help anybody. Because of my bad habits and not liking most of the foods that I'd need to eat and so on. You know, every day in my salads, I have a cup and a half of beans. In one day, in my first day of healthy eating, I had more beans, I think, than in my entire life combined leading up to that. In an average day, I have more fruit now than I would have had in a month or 6 months. And on it goes. Your palate will change. So here's the thing. If here's a guy, 50 years old, he's supposed to be walking his daughter down the aisle, giving away his daughter. This is his youngest girl. It's time for her wedding. The whole family's all excited. He's been obese for years. I mean, he likes his burgers and fries, and he likes his chips, and he likes his ice cream, and everyone kind of jokes about how much he likes all these things, and he's the life of the party, but always kind of pigging out and so on. And 50 years old, getting ready for the wedding, and he drops dead of a heart attack. Now, please hear me. There are deaths that are caused by genetic issues and other issues, and healthy eating is not going to solve that problem. I understand that. And there are people with handicaps and other physical conditions for whom healthy eating is it's going to address other things, but it's not going to address those issues. Nor are we standing in judgment. However, if you have a case where you can virtually guarantee if that person ate differently, they would not have died prematurely. When the doctor looks you in the eye and says, sir, you have high blood pressure, you need to change your diet and lifestyle. High blood pressure is the silent killer. We say, come on, man. I believe God. I'm a man of faith. I don't worry about these kind of things. And then we drop dead 6 months later. That's on us. That was our fault. We were warned. We were told the consequences of unhealthy eating. Look, it says in Proverbs 23, when you sit before a ruler, consider carefully either whom you're sitting before or what is before you. And if you're someone who's given to having a big appetite, put a knife to your throat. In other words, don't Don't lust after those things and pig out when you're in the presence of a leader, a ruler, I think for several obvious reasons. So hear me. Again, my goal is not to condemn. My goal is to help. Why do we excuse this area of life so much? Is it ignorance? Is it that it's just part of life? I mean, hey, going out to a restaurant, going for fast food. We don't have time. Let's just go to fast food. Just the crazy, busy soccer mom lifestyle we have. Is it because we just think because food tastes good, it's allowed? And we know that sex is only allowed with our spouse. We know that getting drunk is not allowed and getting high is not allowed, right? God is against those things and their bondages, and they take away from our sobriety and so on. So we know all that. But hey, you know, food is allowed. And as long as you don't totally pig out, if it tastes good, eat it. I mean, is that our mentality? Or do we think, you know, years back, Americans weren't as heavy as they are today. Years back, living in the same world here, we weren't as fat as we are today. here, I'm looking at an article from the Harvard School of Public Health, and it's entitled "An Epidemic of Obesity, U.S. Obesity Trends." And let me just mention this. The portions at restaurants have gotten bigger. The unhealthy ingredients in our foods have grown over the years. Do you know that, say, in Oreos, there is something in it, part of the ingredients, that is addictive? That a study was done, I read about it, and we cited in our book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. A study was done where rats were addicted to cocaine and to Oreos. So the researchers got the rats addicted to cocaine and to Oreos, and then took both away and saw which they would choose more. And it was basically a battle between the two. They were equally powerful in their addiction. Now, we think, yeah, cocaine, that's addictive. Heroin, that's addictive. Hey, I've said it before. I said it yesterday. It was easier for me to get off heroin in 1971 than to get off chocolate in 2014. I had to pray through more to get off chocolate than to get off heroin. I'm telling you the truth. If you like chips and things like that, the salt content in them is just designed so you want another and you want another and you want another. You go to a restaurant, you know, we have folks come over from overseas and they come to one of our American restaurants like, wow, the portions are massive. And then the desserts, you know, desserts that could be for three people, we eat them ourselves. So listen to this. In 1990, obese adults made up less than 15% of the population in most U.S. states. And by the way, if you go back to 1950, say, you'll find figures much, much lower. By 2010, 36 states had obesity rates of 25% or higher, and 12 of those had obesity rates of 30% or higher. Today, nationwide, roughly 2 out of 3 U.S. adults are overweight or obese, 69%. And 1 out of 3 is obese, 36%. And again, there are other nutritionists and doctors who say, no, that figure is too low. Obesity should be calculated more strictly, which would mean 40% or more of the population is obese. While U.S. obesity rates have overall stayed steady since 2003, the rates are still rising in some groups. Even more alarming, the prevalence of overweight and obesity in children and adolescents is on the rise, and youth are becoming overweight and obese at earlier ages. 1 out of 6 children and adolescents ages 2 to 19 are obese, and 1 out of 3 are overweight or obese. Early obesity not only increases the likelihood of adult obesity, it also increases the risk of heart disease in adulthood, as well as the prevalence of weight-related risk factors for cardiovascular disease, such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and high blood sugar. Certainly, that's not for our good. Certainly, there's a better way. And the honest question I ask you to ask yourself, if you're overweight, if you're obese, is it caused primarily by lack of self-control? Is it caused primarily by lack of self-control? I don't say this to condemn. I say this to help. Because self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And certainly, the power of the Spirit is greater than the power of donuts. Anybody going to differ with that statement? I think not. All right, we're going to change topics to the last segment in the broadcast. What about the Cub Scouts and a girl who says she's a boy? She gets banned. They're under pressure now. What are they going to do? We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The Boy Scouts of America faces new questions after banning a child over his gender identity. 8-year-old Joe Maldonado, who was born a girl and now identifies as a boy, was removed from his New Jersey Cub Scout troop. Joe's family says parents of other children had complained.
I understand why. Why is the news referring to this girl as a boy? 8-year-old identifies in a certain way that does not mean that he is she or she is he. And it's perfectly understandable when the other boys, little boys in Cub Scouts, kids, little kids, when they understand that Joe is actually Jane or whatever her name was, and they're uncomfortable, and they tell the parents, there's a girl in our Cub Scouts, and the parents complain. They have every right to expect that there will be boys there in the Cub Scouts. That's why they have Cub Scouts for boys, and they have something else for girls. But of course, there's tremendous debate stirred up over this. This is on CBS This Morning. Recently, the subject came up for discussion. Clip number 2. Let's listen to more of the controversy.
He was born Jody, but has been identifying as a boy for over a year.
So why did you want to join the Boy Scouts?
Because all my favorite friends were there.
Joe was a member of Cub Scout Pack 87 in New Jersey, but was recently removed over his legal gender, which is female.
What do you think of that reasoning?
I don't know.
And they knew full well he was not born a boy.
They all know Joe as when he was Jody.
In a statement, the Boy Scouts of America defended its actions, saying in part, no youth may be removed from any of our programs on the basis of his or her sexual orientation, but added, gender identity isn't related to sexual orientation. In recent years, the Boy Scouts have reversed bans on gay scouts and scout leaders, but this incident could spark a new debate.
Yeah, of course. How are you gonna stop here? It's not just LG, gay, lesbian, lesbian, gay. It's LGBT. How are you gonna stop here when the Obama administration is redefining the meaning of sex to include gender identification in laws across the country? When activists have made clear they're not stopping with gay rights, they want transgender rights. Transgender is the new black. If this is the way you're born and that's the reality, then the others are being transphobic. Of course you can't stop here. And the Boy Scouts should have realized that before they started down this wrong and dangerous path. Obviously. And here, this little girl named Jody, why does she want to be in the Cub Scouts, because all her best friends are there? That doesn't mean she's a boy. Listen, Nancy and I have talked. She was a tomboy. She liked hanging out with the boys more than the girls when she was a little girl. She wanted to be a boy when she was a little girl. And there are plenty of boys that wanted to be girls and liked hanging out with the girls, and plenty of girls who like boys hanging out with the boys. You say, well, this is deeper. It doesn't matter. You want to try to get to the root of the kid's problem rather than accommodate it. And there are people who've worked with kids who identify as transgender for years who say the worst thing you can do, especially the younger they are, is play into it and say, okay, you're no longer Jody, you're Joe. And then why are they interviewing a kid for a national program? What do you think of that? I don't know. The kid's 8 years old. Come on. Why are we exposing kids like this? A 9-year-old on the front cover of National Geographic. Quite a few have said that's child abuse. You don't do that. Let's listen to a little more of this story. Clip 3.
Now, the Boy Scouts of America says its programs are for those who identified as boys on their birth certificates. The organization tells us it offered the family alternative co-ed programs for Joe, but his mother told me she is not interested and instead wants an apology for Joe.
It's excluding a child at that age is always tough. I mean, for a kid, he just wants to belong. You know?
You really see public opinion. I know in your piece you said it's already coming. That will seemingly carry the day here.
Yeah, and the mother says she just wants to do what makes her child happy. This isn't about anything other than that.
Hear, hear. Errol, thanks.
I appreciate a parent wanting to make a kid happy, but that's what parents are there to do, is not just to make their kid happy, but to do what's right. Listen, I wish I was given different ways to eat when I was a child instead of having to learn them just a couple years ago. I wish that from day one I was given healthy food for breakfast and told breakfast is important instead of being allowed to eat 4 Oreos for breakfast. And I'm glad that my parents said no to other things in my life. Our older daughter, Jen, when she went through her teen years, was really rebellious, and we really had a struggle. And, you know, we laugh about things now. Looking back to it, she's 39. We have lots of laughs about things. But she told Nancy some years ago, I'm so thankful for the way I was raised because I really would have gotten in trouble otherwise. And we're talking about a teenager, let alone an 8-year-old. What kind of society is it? Just want to make the kid happy? Well, the kid needs to do what's right. And when they do what's right, if you told them, no, you're actually a girl, so you're going to go to the Girl Scouts, and you'll get to know the girls there, and you'll have some great friends. And over time, Jody would have some great friends with the girls. And when the local chapter is nice enough to say, here are co-ed activities, no, not acceptable. As for public opinion changing, actually, there's quite a backlash against trans activism. And whereas same-sex issues have been much more popular in America, trans activism is still getting largely negative responses, especially the idea that government should be required to pay for certain things, or that children should be allowed, a boy should be allowed to play on the girls' sports team and share locker rooms and shower strolls with her. There's a lot of backlash against this. And even if public opinion continues to shift for a while, it's going to shift back because this will go too far. Boy Scouts of America, wake up. You made some big mistakes in capitulation already. Now you're facing even bigger ones. Hey, Girl Scouts, they've already made the decision long ago. If you're a boy and you identify as a girl, you're quite welcome. They've already gone down that path. Oh, that's just great. Here's a sleepover or an event. You got 15-year-old boy identifies as a girl with 15-year-old girls there, and they're talking about, you know, their monthly cycle or other things girls talk about. And boy, the boy can't quite fit in there. And hey, we're told, remember, he's not gay. That means he is still attracted to women. Even though he identifies as a girl, he's still attracted to women. The lack of wisdom in this, the lack of real love in this, even though it's done in the name of love, is frankly mind-boggling. And our heart goes out to Jody and her family. And hopefully some sanity, some wisdom will prevail, and God will work in their lives so that Jody can be whole in the body that God gave her. All right, friends, remember, if you've not yet ordered your copy of Breaking the Stronghold of Food, you can still get the ebook free when you order, but you've got to do it through strongholdoffood.com, strongholdoffood.com, and time is short to take advantage of the special offer. My bottom line today: don't let self-control, lack of self-control, cut your life short. Walk it out in health. All right, we're not going to judge others, but for yourself as a follower of Jesus, do you believe it's a sin to be obese?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, number to call. This is your joyful voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We've got a bunch of things to talk about today, but one that we will talk about is this question: is unhealthy eating sinful? Or is it a sin for a believer to be obese? Or is that too broad a question, because obesity could have many different causes? What if obesity is due to lack of self-control? Would that be a sin? Should we care about this? Should we focus on it? Or is this a distraction from more important spiritual things and preaching the gospel to others? We'll discuss these issues today. I'll share some of what others have said on social media. I've got a Twitter poll. In your opinion, what's the primary cause of obesity? What's the primary cause of obesity? And I gave four choices: genetics, emotional disorders, lack of self-control, lack of knowledge. All right, you digest that for a second, all right? In your opinion, what's the primary cause of obesity? And we're not judging others. We're not throwing stones at others. We're here to help. If I see someone that's grossly overweight, I just feel bad for them. I don't look at them like, you slob, what's the matter with you? I feel bad for them. I think, oh, that's rough, that's hard, and who knows why they're in that condition. So in your opinion, what's the primary cause of obesity? Genetics, emotional disorders, lack of self-control, lack of knowledge. Those who responded to my Twitter poll so far said this: genetics, 9%. You've got some type of thyroid problem, some type of metabolic disorder, and that's why you're obese. 9% said it's genetics. From my understanding, from what I've read, and I'm no expert in this, Nancy's far more expert in these issues than I am, but from what I have read, that would be too high a number. But fine, let's be generous there. Let's be generous. We want to be non-condemning. 10% said emotional disorders. Twitter, I have a limited amount of how much I can write, and maybe I didn't explain it as clearly as I wanted to, but if what I was saying was eating out of some emotional weakness, someone's depressed, someone's just gone through real hardship, and they're, you know, they had a terrible loss, and they're overeating for that reason, all right? So emotional disorders, they said 9%. So I would think that would be higher, but again, I couldn't express that as clearly as I wanted to. Lack of self-control, 69%. And lack of knowledge, 13%. Now, ask yourself this question. If you're overweight, And for me, my ideal weight is about 180 pounds, and I'm just under 6'3". You say, that's light. I've got some muscle. I'm not big boned at all, for sure. I've got some muscle, but that really is my ideal weight. When I saw it on a chart from one doctor, it's like, it's crazy, man. I'd like be like a skeleton, but that's my good weight. Let's say you're overweight. Let's say you're 5'2 and weigh 140 pounds. Let's say you're 6'4 and weigh 250 pounds. Why? Why are you overweight? Ask yourself the question. Is it you just like unhealthy foods? Is it lack of self-control? Is it, I don't know what I'm supposed to eat? What is the right way to eat? Is it just, man, I'm going through a hard time. I quit smoking cigarettes and I just substituted with something else. What's your reason? Whatever it is, there's hope in the Lord, and there are practical things we can do to change. I'll be right back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Hey, I've just got an unrelated question for you, but I'm curious about this, all right? I am curious. Do you believe that Russia hacked our elections? You say, well, what kind of question is that? Everybody knows the answer to that. Of course, we all know the answer that Russia hacked our elections. Well, I'm asking a question. Some believe it, some don't. Do you believe that Russia hacked our elections? 866-34-TRUTH. There are those in the Trump team, President-elect Trump's team, who have been very skeptical about it and said, we're still not sure. Initially, CIA leaked things, and then FBI wasn't sure, and now we hear no intelligence is sure about it. But allegedly, it was some of the Podesta emails, the Democratic Party emails that were hacked, and Russia was to blame for it. Julian Assange, who is the head of WikiLeaks and the one who has released these documents, has said over and again it was not Russia. So he was on Hannity, and this was an exclusive interview. We'll go to clip four. And this is what Julian Assange says to Hannity in terms of his email information, his hacker, his sources, how he got these leaks.
Can you say to the American people unequivocally that you did not get this information about the DNC, John Podesta's emails? Can you tell the American people 1,000% you did not get it from Russia or
yes.
anybody associated with Russia?
We can say, we have said repeatedly over the last 2 months that our source is not the Russian government and it is not state party.
Interesting. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you believe Russia did hack our elections and consequently, there should have been sanctions against them and Obama, President Obama, expelling certain of Russian staff from America. And then Vladimir Putin was expected to retaliate in kind. He didn't. Then Donald Trump said he's very smart. I said, wow, he sided with Putin here in this dispute. And is he trying to do a reset with Russia? What in the world's going on? But just curious, do you think that this is just another lie, fake news being put forth by the media and the Obama administration? And you say only a fool would deny that Russia was involved. 866-348-7884. And my prior question, is it sin for a Christian to be obese? Is it sin to have unhealthy eating patterns? Now, those may be two separate questions. You might say, Mike Brown, easy for you to talk. You're a man. You didn't have three kids in 4 years. Oh, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to say if you're a woman, you had kids, went through pregnancies, and you're overweight and don't sleep enough now. And the last thing I'm doing is condemning anybody. I'm just looking for practical solutions and ways that we can work together to help people change. Because this much I know, since Nancy and I wrote Breaking the Stronghold of Food, since we started telling our stories publicly, the people we hear from, the desperation of the people we hear from, the stories, the frustration, the difficulties, the challenges, the fact that this really is a life and death issue cannot be denied. Now, speaking of life and death and health, just want to weigh in with something. It's random, but it's related. Moments before the broadcast today, we were on the phone with our insurance company that we've been with for years and years and years. And my younger daughter, who works in our office, does bookkeeping. She got a check sent back from the insurance company with some explanation of insurance ending at a certain point or something. Of course, we're on time with our payments. we went to look into it, and she got on the phone with the rep, and they said, yeah, with the President's Affordable Care Act, your current policy that was grandfathered in no longer works, and you're no longer insured by our company. So this is not the end of the world. I mean, we'll get something else immediately. But hear me. Remember, we were all told you can keep your policy. Now, many of you already got hit with this in years past under so-called Obamacare, President's Affordable Care Act. And we have one friend of ours who got fined. He got fined because he didn't have insurance. He chose not to have insurance. He got fined. Oh, this is great. And then talked to doctors who said, yeah, we can't do certain things now because it's too costly under Obamacare. And then we know other companies where they've had to cut people's hours back or lay people off because they couldn't afford the health benefits that they were required to pay. And then how many of you were told you can no longer keep your policy or the policy went way, way, way up? Yeah, unreal, isn't it? So we just got hit with that today. I thought I would mention it. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. What's my take on Russia? What's my take on Russia and hacking? It wouldn't surprise me if they did what they could to interfere in our elections. It wouldn't surprise me if they've got intelligence going on behind ours, negative, destructive counterintelligence. It wouldn't surprise me if we've done the exact same thing in Russia and other countries. I don't think that CIA or FBI are manufacturing things, but I think there's more to the story. I think there's more to the story than meets the eye. That's my only logical explanation, that there is more to the story than meets the eye. So that's it. And by the way, what do I know about the hacking situation? In other words, I don't have more resources at my fingertips than the FBI and the CIA. I don't have 1,000th or 1,000,000th of the intelligence resources they have. Nor do I have a direct link to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. So I'm just standing at a distance, just like you, and giving my opinion. There are plenty of things I can weigh in with some degree of authority or with some degree of certainty or with some degree of confidence. And there are other things, like I'm just giving you an opinion. All right. We'll come back to that. We'll interact with some of you on that. Chapter 5 of our book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, is called Too Fat to Fly. Too Fat to Fly. So I remember these words very, very well. We're at a prayer meeting, a Sunday night prayer meeting. Our church was experiencing a wonderful move of the Spirit. We were experiencing God doing great things in our midst. People were so hungry for God that we opened the building on Sunday nights just to pray for hours, where it used to be pulling teeth to get people to pray on a Sunday night once a month, and it was the most boring meeting you can imagine. Now we couldn't wait to get there. We were praying 3-4 hours, no music, no preaching, just crying out to God, meeting with God. It was incredible. And this particular night, we're kind of slow motion, walking through the water up to your knees, and you're trying to run, and it's hard. It's just how it felt that night. We didn't know why. And this one dear brother with his deep voice, "Brethren, we're too fat to fly. We all just had a nice Sunday meal before coming here. We stuffed our bellies, and we're too fat to fly." Yeah, I understand that spirit is spirit, and flesh is flesh. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, we're housed in these bodies. Here, look, if you don't sleep for 2 or 3 days, it's going to be hard for you to function spiritually. Okay, we're housed in these bodies. If you eat to the point of almost passing out with gluttony, don't tell me you're not going to be able to flow in the spirit right after that. And for many of us, we are too fat to fly spiritually. In other words, you can't walk in the spirit if you indulge the flesh. And that's what we had done, that like an overgorged bird, we were too fat to fly. I remember one night with our family, so Nancy and the girls, We were driving about an hour. The home church we had them was about an hour away because we'd relocated and that was still our home church. And I was going to preach that night. So we had an hour drive and then maybe an hour of worship. Then I was going to preach. So we got ice cream on the way. And I remember that ice cream that I had, chocolate ice cream cone, it just was sat in my stomach. When I got up to preach, I still felt it sitting in my stomach. And I thought, I fed the flesh. It's a little harder to get in the spirit right now. And I really made it a lifestyle that if I was going to preach, I wouldn't eat for a good 4 hours before preaching, because it just felt like if I was heavy, it weighed me down spiritually. Many of us are too fat to fly. And I tell you, when you find discipline in your eating habits and that extra weight comes off, you start to soar spiritually too. Yeah, it's true. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. As you're listening on your local radio stations during our breaks, our 1 or 2 minute breaks during the show, you are hearing local advertisers. It could be a local Christian car dealership. It could be clip advertising another program on your station. I'm hearing another feed. If you're listening online, you're hearing the same feed I'm hearing. And some of the feeds today, Greg Laurie, another feed here from a Christian lady, didn't catch her name at the beginning of her talk, but they're both talking about food, diet, transformation. Yeah, new year, new you. And that's why our new book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, came out today for that very reason. You know, I'm encouraging honesty. I'm encouraging you to start where you are and be honest with the Lord. And rather than make excuses and point fingers, say, okay, the reason that I eat the way I eat is this. Or I want to change. I don't know how to change. If we're honest, at least we can move forward rather than say, well, there's nothing wrong with my weight, nothing wrong with my diet. Well, tell you what. If your blood pressure is great, your cholesterol is great, your energy level is great, you have no health-related issues whatsoever, say you're 60 years old and you're 50 pounds overweight and you eat unhealthily, well, then the question is it good to be overweight at all? Is there a lack of self-control or stewardship in that? But hey, if you've got no problem because of it whatsoever and you've had thorough physicals and you could go out and run with me and push hard with me and you're not going to keel over, well, I'm not here to criticize. But I've read that people 65 or older, I think 95%, some figure like that, are either on high blood pressure or high cholesterol medication. Yeah. Friends, if you know it's important to be a good steward with your money, how about with your health? How about with your finances? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to John in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, thanks, Dr. Brown. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's a great segue. My wife has been struggling with this for quite some time, about 10 years now, and just you know, that extra weight gain and the problems that it caused, the health problems and whatnot. But one thing that we're really good at together is budgeting and being good stewards and leading Dave Ramsey classes. Mm. And finally, it came to her, it dawned on her, that if she's the same, if she looked at her calorie intake the same as like a paycheck, if you overspend and you go into debt, that's like gaining the weight. So in order to get your balance back to even, well, then you'd have to exercise. And then she would say, wow, I have to exercise an hour just for this, you know, muffin or this. And it started changing the way she thought and the way she budgeted. And, no, it's been helping. And so that is, you know, I just wanted to
share that. Great segue. It just so happened that I brought up the financial stewardship issue. So John, let's probe this a little more. How old is your wife?
She's 48.
And what kind of health-related issues was she having because of being overweight?
Oh, high cholesterol, and I think the social issues of, I mean, she loves swimming, but she's not wanting to go out and put a bathing suit on and feeling uncomfortable inside her skin.
Got it. And that's very big. See, for me, being overweight never, ever stopped me from ministry or from working out or anything. I was embarrassed by being overweight, but it never stopped me once I went to minister or work out or do whatever. But I was always conscious of it and bothered by it. And I thought, you know, I'm a disciplined servant of the Lord, yet I'm overweight, and it's not right. It's not conducive. And that was something I felt, even though people didn't realize that I was as heavy as I was. For Nancy, it was totally paralyzing because she just hated, you know, being in the skin she was. And you know, it even caused her to be, you know, reclusive because of that. So for sure, that's an issue. And then high cholesterol can lead to all kinds of other problems. And those are just the ones that we know about. So, yeah, is it worth an hour on the treadmill for a muffin
or
for a small fry? And then even though you've gotten rid of the calories, the junk of it is still in your body. It's still in your blood and things like that. And here's the other thing that's amazing, John, is that now that I eat totally healthily, see, when I make a salad for myself, it's actually several pounds of salad ingredients that are in there. And because it's all healthy stuff, and with a healthy dressing, maybe this massive salad that literally takes me a half hour or 45 minutes to eat, maybe the total caloric content is 300 calories maybe, or 350 calories. In other words, that's like a candy bar. So, you know, I was with a friend who insisted on taking me to a fancy steak restaurant. And I said, well, tell you what, I'm only having 4 ounces of meat, and I'll, you know, have him cook my steak, you know, very plain without salt and other things. And because that's how I like to, you know, I don't use salt. And he said, well, that's fine. I said, well, I'll get a big salad first. And then we got some grilled vegetables without oil. He agreed to that. And, you know, the steak came on the plate, even 8 ounces, like, there's nothing here. This is nothing. This is so tiny because I'm used to these large portions. And what it is that our body responds best to bulk, not to calories, meaning that we're volume eaters more than anything. So if you have a handful of peanut M&Ms, maybe that one handful is 200 calories. Well, that's not like 200 calories of fruit. You want a few of those handfuls. Whereas if you had the fruit, you know, very few people overeat on fruit, or very few people overeat on broccoli or Brussels sprouts. So that's the other thing. But good for your wife to be a steward of her calories. And then to the extent, if you ask, okay, this is an unhealthy food, let me replace that with a healthy food, then your palate starts to want the healthier foods more than the unhealthy foods. And now the energy level is up, and now, you know, the high cholesterol issues and things like that, they actually get reversed. You know, the blood, if you've got, you know, arteries that are getting clogged, they can actually get unclogged. So it's amazing, but good for your wife, and great analogy. Like, how many people has Dave Ramsey helped? How many people has he helped in real life and death ways because their financial crises were killing them, straining at their marriage, weighing them down with terrible, terrible burdens of every kind, and then they made a transition with godly, wise financial stewardship, and they are so much more free. Think of food. Think of health. Think of overweight. Think of obesity. Think of what godly principles could do for you there. Friends, I am living proof. I wish you could walk in my shoes for a day and see how freeing it is, and how vibrant it is, and how blessed it is. Thanks for the call, sir. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us on the line of fire. How would you like some holiness principles for wholesome eating? How would you like that? Would that help you in this new year? I want to share with you from our new book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, How We Conquered Food Addictions and Discovered a New Way of Living, the first book Nancy and I ever co-authored. And in fact, I'll give you an example of exactly how the co-authoring worked in a moment. But the book is out now. It is officially out. If you have not ordered your copy yet, go to strongholdoffood.com. There are only a few more days to do this, where when you get the book, you get the free ebook. All right, go to strongholdoffood.com, and then you order the paperback there. Order it, say, through Amazon. You get 41% off. And then there's just instructions to follow to get the free ebook. You'll get the ebook sent to you immediately free, and then the paperback will be shipped to you. So take advantage of that, strongholdoffood.com. Only a few more days for the special offer from the publisher. And if you've got an early copy of the book and have read it and it blessed you, please post a review on Amazon. All right, that would really be a blessing to encourage other readers that the book has made an impact on you. But let me share with you how our co-authoring worked. I wrote the whole chapter, the whole book. Nancy and I then went through it with a fine-tooth comb, and she said, sharpen it here, or maybe you could add something here, or this is not clear. So I sharpened it as best as I could. And then wherever she wanted to jump in, just like in a conversation, she jumped in, and then we include that in a different font. So here's, for example, the beginning of my chapter, our chapter, Holiness Principles for Wholesome Eating. And I'm going to give you some holiness principles for wholesome eating. And then we also have practical tips as well. Okay, things to do, things not to do, foods to eat, not to eat. And then links to websites with recipes and books with recipes. So we want to be as practical as we can and say, okay, here are good next steps to take. So here's where I start off. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. The very first temptation Satan presented to the human race was a food temptation. I've read the story for more than four decades, and I could quote it back to you from memory, but it was only recently that I recognized how much food itself played an important role in the temptation. Then Nancy joins in. Think of the crowds that came flocking to Jesus after he multiplied the fishes and the loaves. He said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, you were seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. This is really incredible. Here is Jesus healing the sick, opening blind eyes, setting captives free, and working all kinds of miracles. But the crowds weren't coming because of that. They were coming for the food. So says Nancy. Now I join back in, and I say, let's revisit the account in Genesis 3. And I go through the temptation there. And notice that the woman notices after Satan draws her attention to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She notices when the woman saw, what does it say? That the tree was good for food. Good for food. We need food to live. Basic sustenance. She was good for food. That it was a delight to the eyes. Ooh, look at that. Does that look good? And that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. So the fall came about with a food temptation. I want to give you some holiness principles for healthy eating and put out the question, is unhealthy eating sinful? Is obesity sinful? Or could it be obesity is due to genetics or due to emotional issues or due to lack of access to good food? We'll talk about it. We'll give you some practical wisdom. 866-34-TRUTH if you want to weigh in. Shake the nation, change the world. Change the world. It's fire we want, for fire we please. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I posted on Facebook, on Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, AskDR Brown on Facebook. Here's a question for friendly discussion. Please stay friendly, not judging others, but for yourself. If being obese is not the result of a medical condition, is it a sin for a follower of Jesus to be obese? What do you think? And do you have scripture to support your view? You can weigh in at 866-348-7884. Let me read some of the responses. Amy, it's definitely not being your best. Gluttony is talked about as being sin, and our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, so we should be taking care of our bodies. Does that make it a sin if it is our own choosing? Probably. Joey, I do get sick of the gluttony comments specifically aimed at overweight, obese people. All of us fat people do not go around with a chicken leg in one hand and a slice of cake in the other. That's the image many people, creative people my size, that we do nothing all day but lay on a couch. I probably drank my calories more than I ate them. I know many people who are not obese and eat way more than I ever do or could. Exactly. You could be thin and be a glutton. I've seen it. Nothing is ever said about those people at all. Many of them work out all the time and are very active, but aren't they still guilty of gluttony? Yet this is why we need to be so careful and non-condemning, but just extending a helping hand. Heidi, this can be sensitive ground for eating disordered people, as it is not uncommon for some with anorexic tendencies to feel like the only way they can control something in life is by being able to deny the body adequate food and be the exceptionally thin person that is highly praised in our society and can outwardly think themselves superior when in reality it amounts to self-harm. The Lord judges the heart, not the outside. Ben, I don't have a scripture to support my point, but I do know that we need to take care of our bodies. As I remember one of the passages that says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm pretty sure if we being a temple need to protect our health. However, it's only His love that can help us gain perfection in anything. Jerry Lynn, in my own life, it is a lack of self-control, a fruit of the Spirit. And yet in numerous other areas of my life, I have tremendous discipline, self-control. I know I run to food for comfort, out of boredom, and mostly out of habit. A habit becomes a habitation, a stronghold, a fortress of wrong thinking. I know it, but do I know it? And do I see this as sin? Yes, but there's a demonic spiritual side to this, or else it would be easily defeated and changed. Boy, from a purely spiritual point of view, it's a non-issue. That is to say, we're all guilty of sin in our lives. For the Christian, God is dealing with us as individuals on particular issues as we grow in knowledge and grace. Ted, isn't this a bit like asking if it's a sin to be wealthy, when in fact it is the love of money that is the root of all evil, not the possession of money? Jan, dismissing medical reasons, yes, I think it is, as is smoking and drugs. Janet, sadly, many people who take prednisone will appear obese and puffy. They'll even develop moon face. Many with lupus and other diseases have this. This is not from eating. This is why we cannot judge. Yes, again, we don't know. And look, a woman that's been pregnant or multiple pregnancies, maybe someone that's just gone through a great loss and is depressed and is taking refuge in food, maybe someone with some other medical condition. There are all kinds of possible reasons. So we don't cast stones, but we say, hey, let's see if we can help. Andrew, eating can be pleasurable and was meant to be, so being addicted to it or abusing it is much like sexual addictions or substance abuse addictions. Exactly. Michelle, there are so many different reasons for being obese. I'm not making excuses for someone being obese, but until one understands the underlying reasons, one can't really judge a person's obesity as sin. True. Farrell, I am clinically obese, although I have a very active lifestyle and going to the gym regularly. I limit my intake, and if I overeat, I skip the next meal or eat a very light meal. Struggling with my weight since I was 10, and 27 years later, it's not easy. Eating right, playing sports, taking supplements do not work effectively. I still try and lost about 7 to 10 kilos in 2016. Caden, we are told to be self-controlled and not gluttonous or greedy. If you have enough excess of food to become obese, you have enough to share with those starving to death, remembering that we're told to think of others as better than ourselves. Don, I don't know. I'm obese and still eat right and exercise, but I battled this question for years. Now, that raises the question of, do we know what it means to eat right? Again, I'm not judging Don at all. He might eat just the way I eat today. I don't know. But do we know what it means to eat right? I was sitting with one brother one day, and he was eating what to me looked like a very unhealthy meal, and he was commenting on how he tries to eat healthily and avoid certain foods. I thought, well, it's not what's on the plate in front of me. Of course, I didn't say that. I just smiled. Andrea, I think we're all responsible to treat our bodies well, to eat healthily. I fail miserably at it. I'm fairly thin. Yes, if God gives us something that is our bodies, we sin, or at least we fail to honor God if we do not take care of and use what he gives us to his glory. Drake, I think it's a possibility that it can be gluttony is considered a sin after all. Victor, sin is transgression of the law. Tarasso, I would say it's not sin to be obese, but you may be in bondage and in need of deliverance if you are. Same as smoking. Lois, I believe it's a sin of gluttony if it's not a medical condition. I've lost 30 pounds three times in my life, each time through a Bible study that taught gluttony as a sin and backed it up with much scripture. I thank him that his mercies are new every morning. Mark, I think we have responsibility as healthy as we can in order to be able to provide for or love our neighbors. Sam, I am overweight, and I know that it is mostly due to my laziness and gluttony. I used to be thin and athletic, and I let myself go. I will judge myself and say that I have sinned in this matter. Yeah, some great, great comments, and fair-minded and helpful and honest. Much appreciated. Can I tell you what I discovered about food in my own life? The role of food in my own life. Yeah, we all eat in order to survive, right? We have to eat to live. We understand that. But why did I eat the way I eat? Why did I eat what I ate? Well, one reason was I was addicted. I was addicted to sweets and probably certainly the breads and things I had all the time. I was addicted to certain foods, in particular sweets. So when I would finish a meal, I instantly wanted something chocolate, or at the least something sweet. And I felt the physical need for it. And if I didn't get it, I would have a craving, or I could get a headache or something like that. So I ate to satisfy that addiction, but also because I enjoyed the taste of chocolates and sweets like that. But when I got free from the addictions, it took me 3 days of withdrawal, and it was worse than getting off drugs and heroin and things like that. And the third night, I really had to cry out to God and pray and say, God, you helped me. You delivered me. You delivered me from drugs, and you were so real to me, Jesus. You were everything to me. I didn't care about all this other stuff. So I'm asking you to be real to me now and to help me overcome. And that was the night of breakthrough. But now the question was the strongholds in my mind, the strongholds in my head. And every day, Nancy would send me a picture of someone with before and after pictures and their story of dramatic weight loss. And they were incredible to read. And then maybe a quote from Dr. Joel Fuhrman, whose guidelines we were following, like, you know, you'll never fulfill your life goals if you're chronically ill or dead. Just, you know, things like that. Pow. This is to the extent these issues are up to us, our health. So I began to think about it. It's like, well, why would I want to do certain things if I couldn't have food in the midst of it? Why would I take the grandkids to see some nice family movie if I couldn't have chocolate nonpareils and popcorn at the theater? Why would I want to be at the airport if I can't get Sbarro's pizza and then some chocolate yogurt? Why would I want to go on vacation if we can't eat whatever meal we want every day, several times a day? And I began to realize that food was my reward. It was a built-in reward of life. You preach and you minister, maybe speak three times on a Sunday, get back to the hotel Sunday night, maybe there's some sports on, chill, time to chill. You just spoke all day, time to chill. And what does that mean? Eat what you want. I'd arrive at a hotel, and sometimes they'd have freshly baked chocolate cookies waiting for me. That was like a gift from God to me. At the airport, of course I can eat what I want at the airport. I'm at the airport. Overseas flights, get some extra rolls, and if, you know, I'm upgraded to business class and unlimited, you know, snacks, it's like, well, yeah, it's like a gift. How am I not going to have that? Why wouldn't I have that? New York didn't just love ministering in New York, loved the New York food, Italian food, New York pizza, and ooh, Chicago. I went to an amazing deep dish pizza place in Chicago. Ooh, India, if I'm at this hotel, ooh, there's a buffet. I like this food there. And I realized that food was a reward built into my life. And I had to look at food differently. I'm at the airport to fly. If I go to the movies with the grandkids, it's to have fun with the grandkids. The food was not the meaning and the motivation for what I was doing. I had to reprogram my brain to relate to food differently. The results have been stunning. We come back, I'm going to give you some holiness principles for wholesome living.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Line of Fire. Chapter 14 in our new book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, is entitled Holiness Principles for Wholesome Eating, because many of the same things apply to food that apply to other areas of life. Be it smoking, be it drinking, be it sexual desires, be it our tongue, the same principles of holiness apply. And again, when the scripture tells us our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the emphasis is on sexual purity, for sure. There's no denying that, no questioning that. However, you have to ask yourself the question, can I glorify God with lack of self-control? Can I glorify God if, in the words of Dr. Joel Fuhrman, we're digging our own graves with our forks and knives? So here are some helpful principles, all right? You ready? You can jot these down. Again, they're chapter 14 of our new book. If you want help to overcome bad eating habits and to learn good eating habits, here's one principle. In terms of what's healthy, cut it out. What's unhealthy, excuse me, cut it out. Don't cut it back. Cut it out. Don't cut it back. What do I mean? Well, remember Jesus said, if your right hand, right eye cause you to sin, cut it out, gouge it out. Better for you to enter the kingdom of God missing an eye or missing a limb than to go to hell whole. He's obviously speaking metaphorically. But notice, you don't cut the thing back, you cut it out. Let's say that you are developing an unhealthy relationship with someone you're not married to. You're a married individual, you're developing an unhealthy relationship with someone you're not married to, all right? And you realize, okay, this is wrong. We're spending way too much time together. We're getting way, way, way too familiar. My heart's getting pulled away. I'm starting to bond with this person. I'm thinking about them more than my spouse. I'm going to cut back on this relationship. No, you don't cut back on it. You cut it off. Because if you cut back on it, that thing's just going to rebound. You cut back, but you still have that contact. It's going to open the door. It's going to rekindle the flame. And before you know it, you'll be in worse shape than you were before. You cut it off. You cut it off, right? You know, let's say your issue is pornography. And every day you watch porn for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. Or I'm going to cut way back on that. I'm going to make it once a week. No, you don't make it once a week. You cut it out, right? And then you have to learn the other things. For example, 2 Timothy 2:22, which tells us to flee youthful lust, then says to pursue righteousness, godliness, peace with those of a like heart. So you run from the one, you run to the other. And anyone who's dealt with sexual addictions, things like that, realizes you have to reprogram your thinking. You have to fill your mind with scripture. Your different steps that the godly counselors would tell you to take or that you learn from scripture. Well, all the more is this true with diet. Because, hear me, it's not so blatant. If I sit down and have a burger and fries, that's not blatant sin like pornography or adultery. If I have an ice cream dessert, you know, some Haagen-Dazs ice cream after my meal, that's not some blatant sin like, like you know, watching porn or lying to your neighbor. All right. So these things can be more subtle in that respect. But here's the problem. Most of us try to cut back what we're doing. I'm going to have less ice cream. I'm going to have smaller portions of you know, pasta. I'm going to do this, that. Oh, okay. That's commendable. The problem is it still leaves those unhealthy seeds there because your body's still craving those foods all the time. And it's very difficult for you to fight that because you're putting stuff in you that is wanting more by its very nature. Whereas if you cut out that which is unhealthy, okay, I was addicted to sweets and chocolate, just cut them out, period. Now I enjoy fruits and healthy substitutes instead of chocolate, healthy things I can eat. I enjoy them, all right? But I had to cut out the other. Went through the withdrawal, then I was free. Now with the healthy stuff I eat, it doesn't open the door to that destructive behavior. Another principle. Remember that little foxes spoil the vines. Puritan leader Thomas Brooks wrote, there is great danger, yea, many times most danger in the smallest sins. So many of us focus on big spiritual matters, prayer, reading the word, sharing our faith, spending quality time with our spouses, children, friends, turning away from sexual sin, drugs, drunkenness, standing up for social justice. That's all important, all wonderfully important. But what about sins involving food? Could it be that some of us, some of our eating habits are like the foxes that spoil the vines? Could it be that it's our obesity, which is the result of our food addictions, our unhealthy eating habits, or our lack of discipline that's hindering our walk with the Lord? Another principle, there's always a way of escape. There's always a way of escape. As Nancy says, you do what you can, and he, God, will do what you can't. You do what you can, and he'll do what you can't. Take a step in the right direction. Take a step in the direction that you know you should go. Do things that you know are right, and step by step, God will help you. And then when you need to take the radical step, take it. So, years back, Nancy noticed I'd put some weight on, and I said, yeah, I have, but I got a plan. About 6 months later, she said, you know, hon, I don't think you lost any weight. I said, no, actually, I haven't lost any, but I got a plan. She goes, okay. About a year went by. She said, hon, I think you've put weight on. I said, yeah, I have, but I have a plan. And she looked at me and said, your plan is not working. Now, I've quoted those words in sermons over and again just in terms of our spiritual life overall, okay? Our spiritual life overall. Ministry said, hey, your plan is not working. Look at your life. Your plan is not working. August 23rd, 2014, when it came to food, I looked Nancy in the eye, said, my plan is not working. I need to change. And she said, all right, starting tomorrow, you just eat what I give you. She had been crying out to God for me. I had been crying out to God. Neither one knew the other was praying fervently. And she was asking God for creative ideas because she knew all the healthy foods I needed to eat. I didn't like and I didn't want, aside for salad. So there had to be reprogramming. But God gave grace. And I'm telling you, the supernatural help is there. So tell God your weakness, your problem, why it's so impossible, why it's so difficult. Be honest. He knows anyway. And then go to him for grace. All right. Here's how you get our book. If you don't have it yet, if you want to get more copies, strongholdoffood.com. All right, this is only for a few more days. Strongholdoffood.com. Order there, order through Amazon if you can. And then you'll have instructions how to get a free ebook. So you'll get the book at 40% off from Amazon. And you'll get the book absolutely free, the ebook free with that. Okay, so go and do that right now. You'll be blessed. Trust me, you'll be blessed in help. If you already have the book and you've read it, please post a review on Amazon. That would be a blessing to us and to many others who read the book. My bottom line today, you do what you can do in terms of changing your lifestyle, and God will do what you cannot do.